Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today with all of you about life at Strawberry Cove. Our house is in a little cul-de-sac called Strawberry Cove in Massachusetts. And yesterday, I left off with reading a letter, one of the letters that I had received that day. I didn't really take you through a whole day. Some of you may have felt that it sounded like an extremely busy day, but it was a long list of very little things, mostly. I did also manage to bake an apple pie and to do some ironing, and I'm not going to take you through another whole day today. One of those is probably enough. And they're all pretty much the same. The details vary, but when Lars and I are home, we're home. We don't go anywhere. We have very little social life. He spends virtually all day in his study, and I spend, I should say, in his office. He calls it an office. And I spend virtually all day, morning, afternoon, and evening, in my study, except for the walk and the post office and cooking and, you know, those things. But some of you might be saying, well, what's that got to do with anything? But I do want to give you some encouragement, which came to me through another of yesterday's letters. I've been talking so much about the cross and surrender and death to the self and denial. I mean, that is the message of the cross, isn't it? And you're going to get what the Bible says. You're not just going to get what Elizabeth Elliott says if you tune in to this program. And the message is clear and loud in the Gospels that the cross does mean death. It means denial of ourselves. But I don't ever want to stop with that. The cross also means joy. Calvary was the prerequisite to the resurrection. So this letter was so encouraging to me. I would hope that it will be encouraging to you as well. The lady tells me that she was grateful for the teaching that I had given on Titus 2, 3 to 5, the passage in which Paul is instructing a young pastor as to how he is to teach the women in his church. And he says that the older women are to teach the younger. And she says in her letter, the second point you drove home to me, although I knew this in my head from 1 Corinthians 11:9, hadn't really taken root till you brought this up. It was that wives were designed for their husbands' needs, not the other way around. And she puts in parenthesis, I said for our husbands' needs, not their use. Many Christians still get offended easily over this point. Since last year, I have really desired to put my husband's needs, and she gives his name, and his desires first, and plan my housework and efforts of home beautification to please and suit him. Please bear with me as I am holding the baby as I write this, the second copy, no less. During the first copy, I was holding the two middle children. I really find, as I die to myself and my hopes, dreams, etc., and pray that my husband will walk in surrendered obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, things seem to take shape faster and make more sense than they ever have before. I cannot say that I have this down in disciplined, unwavering practice yet, but I wish that I had understood this when I first got married 7.5 years ago. Well, I just can't tell you how grateful I am, Rebecca, for that letter. I'm so grateful to all of you who are out there listening, and some who are out there writing to us and praying for us. The letters are just breathtaking sometimes, the stories that we hear. Lars and I will sit there on the sofa and open the mail from you listeners and share these hair-raising, horrifying stories of disaster. And many of them are stories of Christian families. So we hardly know what to say except, oh, Lord, have mercy on Susan or Becky or Mary or whoever it is that wrote the letter. Lord, have mercy on her husband and her children. Lord, thy kingdom come in that home. Thy will be done there in that situation. We don't know what else to ask, Lord, but you know. And each time we feel as if we've read the worst story we've ever heard in our lives, we get one that tops it the next year. So we do want to thank you. And I have a pile right now on the desk that hasn't been read yet, and it certainly will be. And so that's a major part of our day. In fact, if I were to apportion my day in number of minutes or hours spent on a single task, I think I would say that mail is by far the largest single task. I do try to write books, but I have to take off special time to try to do that. It doesn't seem to work too well to fit it in around all the other things. So in December, I try to go to California and stay in a hotel for a couple of weeks around the corner from my daughter Valerie and do a little writing in those 2 weeks and then work on it more in the quieter months of the winter, especially January. I love January because I have that shut-in, quiet feeling. I don't have to go anywhere, and nobody wants me to go anywhere. I've mentioned a number of times Ugo Bassi. U-G-O is the first name. Bassi, B-A-S-S-I, is his last name. And it wasn't until very recently that I found out who the man was. He was an Italian, born in about 1800 and died in 1849. And I don't know whether he's known for any other writings, but one is his sermon in the hospital, which was actually put in poetry form by somebody else. I don't know if he even wrote the sermon down, but the person who listened to it was there taking notes and put it into poetry form. And I've only recently come across the whole sermon. And so because reading and studying and trying to prepare for these programs is such a major part of a day in Strawberry Cove, I thought, well, why not read you some of this priceless spiritual stuff, this food that I feed my own soul on? And so I'm going to read you just a few of the bits from this sermon in a hospital by Ugo Bassi. Each hour has its lesson, and each life. And if we miss one life, we shall not find its lesson in another. I'm going to read that again because I've been thinking about it, how easy it is for us to miss the lessons that God wants to teach us in each hour simply because we haven't offered the hour to Him. We haven't been paying attention. Each hour has its lesson and each life. And if we miss one life, we shall not find its lesson in another. Thinking of the cross of Christ. The sin and sorrow in the world, the stream of evil gathering on from age to age, with all its rocks and all its wrecks of life, and men's hearts hardened, and the tender lips of women loud in laughter, and the sobs of children helpless, and the sighs of slaves, and priests with dead lies for the living truth, and kings whose rights were in their people's wrong, and looking the miraculous, tender eyes upon these perishing and gone astray, lifted the hands of help. He's speaking of Christ here, of course. Lifted the hands of help, alone, unarmed, struck singly out and dashed upon the rocks, and in that shock did meet his human doom of suffering, and took it for a crown. The loneliness, the weariness, the strife, the base return, the passion and the cross, and the withdrawal of his Father's face, so that forever since, in minds of men, by some true instinct, this life has survived in a religious immemorial light, preeminent in one thing most of all, the man of sorrows. And the cross of Christ is more to us than all his miracles.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.